Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Pony Sync call for the 25th of January, 2017. I hope you're enjoying living in the future. Let's get going. So the main RFC is the new streaming HTTP package, number 71, which is ready for a vote. This is PD2Notes' new back pressure aware streaming stuff. Now, it says ready for a vote. On the other hand, most recent comments by Joe and Sean, I'm not sure. My feeling is it seems like we should just go ahead and merge it. What do you think, Joe? Has anyone else had a look?
My opinion would be that if we merge, I don't know. It seems like it's kind of still under development. And what Sean and I were kind of talking about is maybe it would be a good idea to kind of let it get a little more stabilized before importing it in. Because once we import it in, then you know technically to make changes to it, we have to do more RFCs, and it might just slow things down. I don't know. I wouldn't necessarily be that opposed to merging it in, but it does.
Well, my feeling is that if we do merge it, then changes would be primarily under bug fixes and principle of least surprise, and that if there was an interface rework, then maybe we would want a RFC. I don't know. Yeah. It feels like what he's got is already a big improvement over the crappy sample implementation was written so long ago. I hesitate to admit by me. Yeah, I don't know. I'm tempted to go ahead and merge it on the theory that it seems to be a lot better than what's there. And the ideas seem to be right, even if it's going to require some tweaking.
Do we know if the I haven't actually looked at this. Do we know if the RFC matches the latest design in the repo?
I haven't been through it in detail, but as far as I know from PD2Notes' stuff, this is all based on his Takara web server. The API is actually pretty stable. Like, if you just check out the HTTP package implementation, most of the stuff dates from before that last round of comments, 9-10 days ago, with a change in MIME types recently, which was he added a new MIME type, which, yeah, okay. Like, that's cool.
Okay. Well, I'm. Benoit, do you have any opinion on the matter?
Well, not really. Not really.
Anybody okay. else? Tommy, Theo, Gordon.
I'm prepared to relent.
I've got nothing to suggest.
Okay. Theo, Gordon, come on, help us out here. We're a little bit stuck.
I haven't even looked at that one, so I have no opinion.
That's fair. Well, okay, why don't we do this? Why don't we just ask PD2Notes how he feels about it? And just say, hey, PD2Notes, if you feel like this is stable and you're happy with the API, then we'll go for it. And if he feels like he wants to do some more work on it before we merge the RFC, we'll do that. How does that sound good?
Sure.
Yeah? Okay. There you go. Oh, I didn't. All right. How's that? Does that look right? Does that sum things up pretty well? What do you think, Joe?
Yeah, that sounds fine.
All right, cool. Excellent. Are there any other RFCs anyone wants to have a look at? All right, cool. We shall go straight to the PRs. $15.29 looks like a slam dunk. It's just doing a better job of doing special case detection. Shall we merge that, Benoit?
Yes.
Cool. Done. I think that one was simple enough that we didn't really need to talk about it particularly. 1528. All checks passed. This is the new branch prediction stuff.
I asked a question about an hour ago. I know this is a little late, but because I know we already merged the RFC without any without talking about adding any tests for this, but I just wanted to check that now that 1530 is merged and we can do compiler tests that include code generation, would that allow us to do a compiler test that lets us check that we're setting the correct LLVM metadata for likely versus unlikely?
I think that would be possible, but we'd have to walk through the generated code to find the right instruction, and I think this will require some more boilerplate in the test framework, maybe by mapping the IST to the generated instructions. So I think yes, but that's not practical.
Okay. Yeah, and I definitely don't want to, you know, create a test too brittle either by depending on, you know, the order of instructions or something like that, and you know, reaching into those in a way that's too brittle. So.
Yeah,
I just wanted to bring it up before we merge it, but other than that, I'm fine with it.
Okay, cool. I'm going to go ahead and merge it then. Here we go. Done. All right. 1520.
I think the resolution of this was, or, you know, the status of this is turn into RFC, which I'm going to add that label right now.
Ah, cool. Yep, I see. Sorry, I missed that.
I'll go ahead and close it too. But with a nice
we can just leave it open and wait for the RFC to come in. There's no harm in leaving the PR open.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, 1519 is looking pretty good. It's even got a test case. It's even got documentation and a doc string. It might even work. Look okay?
Let's see. I'm not that crazy about the name insertive absent, but I
had a look around for alternate names, and unfortunately, most of the language that have decent languages that have decent collections APIs also have immutable maps. So insert of absent is definitely not amongst the things that they cover. Does anyone have a better idea for a name?
I mean, the only thing that's coming to mind for me is like insert new. But
insert if new maybe, but insert new seems like I don't quite know what that does.
Yeah, well, let's just go with it as is, and if because you know, if we can't think of a better name off the top of our heads here, then I mean, if somebody comes up with a better name in the future, we could potentially RFC it. But
perfect. Okay, merging. All right. Aha, Tommy. Number 1510.
Yeah.
So, slightly complicated. Obviously, the right solution to this, in sort of the grand rightness of life, is for the RFC issue number 75, load struct definitions from C header. Joe, it's not the RFC, but it's a request for a request for comment. Joe put together is sort of the right way to do this, right? Because
yeah,
we don't want to try and figure out a way to fake these insane if def environments because we're just going to get it wrong. So let's not do that. The way you've done it now means that in order to make this work so we can merge it, you have to change the Linux and OS X builds so that they depend on LibreSSL, so that the system has it in order to find OpenSSL. So that's not the worst thing in the world. It does change our dependency chain. It means that we now depend on an OpenSSL or LibreSSL package to build the compiler, which previously technically, we only depended on it to run certain test cases, although most people have the idea that it depends on it entirely, so that's not that big of a change. My only question is, would it be possible to just completely fake this in the sense that SSL context, the fields that we're looking out of that, looking for out of that are default password callback user data, and extra certs.
Right.
If those are in a consistent position, regardless of platform, we could put up a totally fake SSL context struct definition in Pony and be able to do that from Pony. Just a nonsense definition.
Yeah.
Where it only has the fields we need. But I honestly have no idea whether it's in a consistent position. And that doesn't mean that I haven't looked. I mean, I looked, and I really wasn't sure whether or not it was in a consistent position. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I was actually thinking about doing that as an offering it as an alternative.
Okay. Cool.
The only, well, like I said, the only concern is whether it's brittle.
It is brittle. There's no question.
Depends on which evil you prefer here.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm honestly not sure which evil is the better evil on this one. Does anyone else have any thoughts on that?
I mean, I'm definitely not wild about depending on SSL for Pony when you may not even be using the SSL package. I guess it would depend on, I mean, I wonder if there's some way for us to add some kind of assertion that would at least tell us when the struct definition broke, or something that could be run. I'm not sure what that would look like or if that's possible.
It's an interesting thought, though. Like, if there's something in an SSL context whose position is consistent and has some value that is relatively reliable uponable. Boy, I'm just looking at the definition according to OpenSSL's header. Gee whiz zollickers. I just had a thought. Is the definition different enough in Libre SSL? Oh boy. Yeah, I don't think we should go down this route. I've just noticed that the definition of SSL context ST is drastically different between OpenSSL and LibreSSL. So for the logically drop-in component where we can't depend on a user to have either of those in terms of which one they're going to pick up, there's a completely different structure layout. That's quite disturbing because it means that if someone built the compiler against OpenSSL and then used LibreSSL it's very unclear what the heckity woggle bommel would happen. Oh my.
That comes back to either that RFC of coming up with a way to from the Pony compiler using libplane to check out the definition of a C struct and use that to influence a Pony type, or the other possibility would be including a way to bundle in some C source code with a package definition so that you could have a standard way in a Pony package of having some C functions that go along with your Pony.
Right. So the first one seems like a very good idea that is an engineering effort to achieve, but fundamentally a good idea. The second one seems like a horrible hack that nevertheless works quite well for Python, and maybe we could learn from how Python does it and also do it, even though it makes me incredibly nervous.
Yeah. I mean, maybe we should brainstorm a bit about what the solution one would look like, the one that we did the RFC for. I guess we would have to say, like, you'd want the, I think what it would have to look like is something like declaring a class saying it's tied to this C struct definition that you can get from this header, and then saying these are the fields I care about. And I'm giving them these names in Pony, and that's always the same. Like, for example, I don't think we could have a situation where the number of fields that you cared about differ, the number, you know, like the number of fields you were using differed. You were using different fields based on the struct definition. Like, I think you would always want to use the same fields by name.
Right.
That's something that works for this case. Like, are the names of the fields even the same?
They are for these ones, for the things that are being used. They're the same.
And just to check, this is the SSL context. It's a public defined struct, right? It's not defined in a private implementation header.
Right. It's actually defined in SSL.h, which is sort of the public header.
Okay. But you're saying that LibreSSL versus OpenSSL have different definitions, but they would both include the fields we care about, right?
Correct. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So I think it would have to be like saying, I declare this class in Pony, I link it to this C struct from this header, and these are the fields I care about, you know, with these names, and then Pony handles laying out where in memory those are, and it kind of ignores the other fields and just, like, has empty space there from Pony's perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep, I think that's the right approach.
Okay.
And then it's a question of, and I think you're also, the other side of that is, I think your suggestion of using libclang to do this is totally the right approach, right?
Yeah.
The last thing we want to do is screw up writing our own C parser, because that's what happens when you write your own C parsers. It's wrong.
Yeah.
So then it's a question of, what does it look like to say, we want to use some C header file? What do we pick up? Do we want to say we're looking for a specific struct and specific fields? Or do we say there is a well-defined translation from C names to viable Pony names, and we're going to apply that translation to everything in the header file, so that if you say we're going to use this header file, you get access to all of the structs in it. And at that point, could we say, if you've used a header file, we'll also declare FFIs, typed FFIs, based on the functions we find declared in a header file?
I think that starts getting... I think that's too much. Especially, and I think any automatic definitions are going to end up being a little bit too much, because, I mean, I've done a lot of FFI stuff in both in Pony and in other languages, and it always seems like, you know, before you step into it, it always seems like there's that a lot of the process could be made fully automatic. But at best, you always end up being kind of semi-automatic. You have to bring some assumptions to the table about memory ownership and, you know, how to deal with certain C types, like whether they would translate to, you know, like, for example, like knowing whether a care star is an array of U8 or whether it's a string in Pony is going to be, and, you know, translating between... I guess it's going to be a pointer U8 either way, but like for good FFI definitions, you know, you would want to be translating those. And I think I don't know. I would tend towards saying that like the automatic process is going to be more problematic, and it's not going to do everything that users want to be able to do. It's going to have ugly edge cases that always need patching up,
right?
And then that you're always going to need, you know, for your FFI functions, I think you're definitely always going to need some kind of translation layer, just if nothing else, to know about capabilities, which C doesn't know about.
Yeah.
And in every language, there's always like some aspects that C doesn't know about that you have to infer from a higher level. Yeah. I mean, I actually at one point worked on a project over in Zero MQ land of generating a bunch of FFI definitions in a bunch of different languages from not from the C source itself, but from a sort of XML API definition that we created, and then also use that to generate the C headers. And that contained everything that we need to know, and it also contained like a core set of assumptions about how an API should work.
Right.
Not every C API is going to conform to. Everyone's got their own assumptions.
Totally. So this is sort of similar to like a CORBA interface definition.
Maybe I haven't used it, but yeah, it was basically just declaring what methods are there and how they relate, and also declaring things about ownership that didn't show up in the C header, but everything was generated from that definition instead of generated from C.
Right.
And that was really the only viable way to make it work. So I don't know that we're going to be able to come up with a good solution that generates everything from a C header.
I think that's an excellent, excellent set of points. I'm just going to post the whole interface description, language description for anyone who's interested. And it's a horrible trail of blood and tears trying to come up with some interface description that fits lots of languages. So that's just more Joe is right propaganda from me. Okay, cool.
Just for the sake of completeness, I also pasted the link
to the
project that I worked on, called the project, and it works well for it works well for projects that are following the conventions with a set of assumptions that it.
Right.
So, but yeah, it doesn't. Anyway, so yeah, I mean, I would tend towards saying that you have to declare each class you care about, and, you know, including the capabilities, which it can infer from the C source, and then link them to the C struct by name somehow, and then have fields that are, and maybe we use annotations for this?
Okay.
Is that something?
That's very something. That's very possible. An annotate, so that you define a struct, but you annotate it in a way that says, here's where you look up the binary definition for this field, which C field you map it to. And so then while the struct is named the way you named it and has fields like you named it, the binary definition is all tied up to, oh, I like that very much.
Yeah. So that way it's just something that we care about when we're generating LLVM code. I mean, just kind of like the branch prediction stuff. For the purpose of the type system, the annotations don't matter. You're just declaring a normal struct with fields, and it only matters when you want to do memory layout.
That's perfect. Can you add some comments to the RFC, the RRFC?
Yeah.
Because I think that's totally the thing to do. And meanwhile, back to where we were long ago.
Pop.
On 1510, that means I think very much the right way to go is let's make OpenSSL a dependency or LibreSSL. We can pick, I prefer LibreSSL personally, for Linux and OS X so that we can build this thing. And if this gets us into trouble because someone is trying to build using LibreSSL and run using OpenSSL, we will burn that bridge when we get to it.
Okay, so the idea would be to merge as is and then, or you know, do whatever cleanup needs to be done with the dependencies, and then later on, after this RFC is complete, go back and remove the dependency? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. By taking the code out of the libponyrt and having a proper binding to from a pony struct to a C struct.
I suppose I'm fine with that. I was going to suggest just waiting until the RFC is done, but I think as long as we're on a track to fix up the weirdness and the hack, we can tolerate it for a period of time.
Sounds good. Cool. How's that sound, Tommy? Sound good?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Awesome. All right. Going back to PRs, pop again. 1390 is pending some real life stuff. Um, 1395 is marked as needing discussion, but it seems like it's fine. I don't think it actually does need discussion. Seems like this is mergeable modulo for some reason. The builds are, oh, I see, because Benoit just fixed it, so it's rebuilding. But it looks like once that goes through, we should merge this one. Does that sound right, Benoit? 1395?
Yeah, well, I think Sean marked it as need discussion to be reviewed during sync.
Okay.
Because it's a pretty big change.
Okay, let's have a quick go.
And so this would definitely be like a breaking change for some applications, correct? So we want to do the version bump to denote that.
I don't think it's a breaking change.
Yeah, I think. Sorry, go ahead.
Or maybe. Maybe if I recall correctly, I removed some functions from signed numbers. I'll check.
There's a fix in the signature of some signed numbers that was returning a signed number when it should have returned an unsigned number, like pop count, count leading zeros, count trailing zeros. That's just a straight up fix.
There is a breaking change. Rotate on sign numbers doesn't exist anymore, but it was completely bugged, so I don't think that qualifies as a breaking change, because if you use the rotate on a sign number, you just get garbage.
Right.
Okay.
So, I like the trailing tilde for the operation names. Every time I look at that, I like it even more, because it says to me, kind of plus, which is good. So for the basic mathematic operations on fixed width types, this isn't introducing any overhead.
No.
Yeah.
Like int plus int?
Right.
Yeah, no, it's not.
Yeah.
Except for division, where we check for overflow.
I'm not seeing a change in gen div. Where's the change in gen div?
Let me check.
I mean, I definitely see the saturation stuff with floating point numbers. But that's exactly the core stuff that was the reason for having this thing in the first place. So that all makes perfect sense.
It's in gen operator.c starting at line 103.
Ah, thank you. My browser had very nicely elided the gen op diff. So when I searched, I did not find
yeah, me too. Things.
Thank you very much. Yeah, so it's really just make div mod. Because the changes on the shift stuff I guess it does introduce a select on shift.
Well, yeah, it does, but I think you usually shift by a constant amount. So
at which point none of that happens. That's absolutely true.
And in line.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not in line.
Yeah. It's just elided when it's a constant on the shift. Okay, so that's a good point. So on the div, all the constant checking is free, so it's really just the if safe block between lines 139 and 174 and lines 183 to 202. Which does the divisor check. And then does the overflow check. Which basically adds a pair of iComps and an OR compared to the previous check. Because the five block is essentially free. I think that's fine. I mean, it solves a very, very real division problem. And if you're expecting your division operations to be very fast, then stop using integer division, do something else. I think this is fine. The only thing I can think of is, does this mean, not in this PR, but in a future PR, does this mean should we transform? No, never mind. Never mind. I was going to say transform constant divisions to shifts where possible, but we don't need to because this the constant stuff doesn't add the extra stuff and it'll automatically get transformed by LLVM, so we don't need to, so never mind. I'm going with this looks very good to me.
Do it.
All right, cool. That was good. That was a lot of discussion, and we covered a lot of stuff, but I think the end result is disgust. And let's do it. All right, I'm going to go ahead and merge that because this passed before, and I feel like if I don't click merge now, we're going to lose the opportunity. Is everyone okay with that, even though some of these CIs are still running?
If you're confident, that's fine.
All right, cool. Then let's go ahead and do it. Done. Excellent. Awesome, Benoit. That's a huge and really good change. Thank you. I love the fact that it gets rid of the IEEE flag on the compiler as well. That is extremely cool. It does mean that for some high performance code that's high performance, this is actually a performance regression in that we're not setting allow unsafe algebra. So people might need to be shifting to using the unsafe operators for floating point operations for speed, which is an interesting thing that we might want to get people used to going ahead and using the unsafe versions of mathematical operators, particularly for floating point numbers. But that's sort of a user education thing. Okay. Awesome. I think that covers the open PRs.
I think there was one that it's marked do not merge, but it's also marked needs discussion during sync 1524.
Ah, thank you.
It's needs discussion, I think, because, well, I had a particular complaint about it, was that the equality method that was added doesn't compare all the fields.
Oh, man, yeah.
And Sean was saying, well, I mean, he was kind of using it to bring up a broader question about whether IP address should include things like port in the class, or whether we should have more fine-grained classes to represent that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's it's an excellent question. Unfortunately, this question was largely answered for us by libc 30 years ago, and the decision they made wasn't very well. It was extremely practical, and it was made for very good reasons, but it's not obvious to people why it was done. So it's that a socket address, sock adder, or a sock adder storage, or a sock adder in, or a sock adder in six, any of these variations of a socket address, they don't represent an IP address. They represent an arbitrary, possibly connectful network endpoint. So that network endpoint, if it's connectable for TCP or UDP, has to include a port, a family, a scope, all of this extra stuff that might seem really counterintuitive. But there you go. Now, because the fact that it's named IP address as opposed to being named socket address or sock adder to be just like libc, is that I foolishly thought that that was going to be easier for people. And I think this discussion makes it clear that that's not easier.
Yeah. I was going to suggest maybe renaming it socket address, listening to you speak, but I'm also kind of curious, like, what about, like, Unix sockets will have an address that can't be represented in this format. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct.
Yeah. But again, I guess then again, socket address does tie it back to the C. I don't know. Do we want to be? I don't know. I'm conflicted.
Me too. Absolutely.
From a capabilities standpoint, I think there is something useful about packaging up the address and the port in the same object, because you're like handing off. You're handing off a capability to connect to that address.
Yes.
Although maybe we're not actually using this in a capability sort of way. Anyone can construct one.
I think we are, actually, because while you can construct one, it's the equivalent of stock adder any, or in adder any, actually, to be more specific. And the only way to get them in that are fully specified is to be reading them from some already connected thing, or to have a DNS lookup off.
So it is acting like a secure capability to connect to that place.
Yeah.
That's derived from higher capabilities. Yeah. So in that way, I think there is something useful about having it packaged up in the same object.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also that we can, in a straightforward way, communicate with the BSD Sockets API, which it turns out, you know, as much as we like to pretend that we'll ever do any other kind of networking, we won't. It's always going to be the BSD Sockets API. There are species as yet undreamt of that will be using the BSD Sockets API. On the other hand, so that all says that you're right. It really does need to compare everything. On the other hand, I really don't know what Sean's use case is for this. It's possible they want to compare just the IP address. And maybe what we should do is have another object type that is constructible from a complete address that is a partial address. On the other hand, yeah, it's unclear to me what that would include. Maybe they would be more specific. Maybe you would have two different types, an IPv4 address and an IPv6 address or something like that, conforming to some interface or trait. And this is a socket address.
I mean, the other alternative would just be that you're going to have another method that compares just the host address.
Absolutely. I think that having that not be the eek method will be a bit painful if you're doing pattern matching or something like that. But maybe I'm just imagining problems that aren't there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if Sean's using pattern matching or not. Okay.
I think the summary of this is probably we need to rename IP address. We definitely need to talk to Sean about what his use case is and whether it's okay to do the full comparison here, or does he need to do a partial comparison? And if he needs to do the partial comparison, or if people find use cases in general that need to do the partial comparison, maybe we want a type that can extract just the IP address portion and check that. Or possibly just have the, as you say, the call that says, you know, is same address, as opposed to is same. God, address is completely misleading in that context. I don't know what to say there. Yeah. Address is a unfortunately overloaded word here. Does that sound about right? That we're leaning towards call it socket address?
Yeah, the only other thing I can think of would be like net address, but
that's not bad. That's pretty good. That's actually quite good because that ties into the idea of the family.
Okay.
A family is technically a network address family.
Okay, so do we just want to say, I mean, does anybody have any counter opinions to not call it net address? Okay, well, I'll just add it as a comment here, and we want to rename the IP address class to net address. And we want to discuss with Sean about his use case for comparison.
Yeah.
Go ahead and type that out. We'll move on to the issue if we want, or another discussion if we have time. Awesome.
I really liked the polite silence of people who don't give a damn about BSD sockets API problems. That was very kind of y'all.
Yeah, I think it's a good name.
Oh, excellent. Hooray. Yeah, so I'm afraid we're short on time, and I actually do need to jump off when we're out of time. But there are things that we didn't cover. Is there anything that anyone wants to cover straight away? Or are we okay picking things up next week? For example, like, do we need to talk about 1532 straight away? My feeling is no. Linting is awesome. We all know linting is awesome, but it's going to be hard to come up with the right style definition and the right tools, but
yeah, I guess the only question about that would be, does anybody have an objection? If somebody wants to run off and implement linting, does anybody have an objection to it being present as long as it's not a requirement to build?
And that's great, actually.
Okay. Well, in that case, if nobody has an objection, I mean, if anybody does have one, they can speak up in the ticket. Otherwise, I'll tell him that if he wants to go ahead and implement it, then he should feel free to do so, as long as it's not a requirement to build.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, yeah, ideally we could even get to the point where a PR can flag linting issues, even though you didn't need to know about it while you were building locally. That's really cool stuff, actually.
Yeah. And maybe some will have ideas for that in the ticket, but I just wanted to get and see if anybody said, no, don't use an automatic linter on the C source, because I've said that in the past on other projects where the style is a little bit less mechanical, but our C style on this project is pretty darn mechanical. So
Yeah, exactly. Just for posterity, so everyone knows, the C style in the Pony compiler is not my actual C style. neither is it Andy McNeil's. Neither is it Sebastian Blessing's, but it was a nice compromise between all of our C styles that was also mechanical enough that we felt that it was acceptable to everybody. So that's why we have what we have. If anyone has strong reasons to change that style, that's okay. We can talk about that too. So don't feel that that style is somehow magic or special for anybody. It's a style of convenience, and that's why it was mechanical.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if we want to change the style, though, we'd be careful that nobody's got any outstanding branches that they have to merge in later.
That's true.
I'm thinking specifically about the dependent types or my branch I'm working on refactoring the expression paths.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
That would be a nightmare.
Well, to be honest, if we were going to change it, I would want a situation where we were comfortable with a rewriting tool that people could run so that they could take whatever garbage they've got and rewrite it to be in the appropriate style, right? Like some kind of format for a style or one of these things that made that possible, because without that, forget it. We can't really change anything.
Okay.
Okay. On that note, I'm afraid I've got to run. Thanks everybody. Excellent session as usual, and see y'all next week.
Bye.
See ya.